9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, 101.1 FM, 1340 AM for the Valley, for the North Fork area, and also Highway 50, 102.1 online all the time. Get our mobile app. It's free at theteam1340.com. All right. We're finding out that, as of right now, according to Woody Page with the Gazette, there are six potential ownership groups bidding for the Broncos. Now, the whole first right of refusal thing with Edgar Kaiser, and that's been kicked to the curb. Now that clears the path for Joe Ellis to start the bidding process to find out who the next group will be that will own the Denver Broncos. According to Woody Page, that John Elway will head up a group that will make their bid. Peyton Manning and his family will be involved in another group that will try to bid and end up being part of the ownership group that owns the Denver Broncos. Who would you rather see end up with the Broncos, Manning or Elway? Seems like Manning and the Manning family have kind of the edge right now on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Used car salesman or insurance and pizza salesman?
Well, I like pizza. You and I both like pizza.
Yeah.
I like cars.
Yeah, I've never actually bought a brand new car.
I tend to lean toward Manning because I think at this stage of the game, Peyton's younger. Peyton certainly has the desire, I think, to be involved in owning and running an NFL franchise. He's expressed that. Sure, go ahead.
Somebody said that Peyton would better understand the modern owner. Are they getting significantly younger in the NFL, the owners? Are they like more hip and John Elway at 16?
David Tepper, a cool cat?
Can't figure him out, whereas Peyton at 46 can? I mean, are these like young slippers and pajama pants wearing owners?
Have you seen Stan Kroenke lately? Stan in his toupee? I mean, come on. Stan Kroenke's older than I am.
I mean, Stan and Ziggy Wolf and Jerry Jones, Stephen Ross, who looked like a bag of bones up there in front of the Dolphins logo the other day. The Maras, Robert Kraft.
Yeah. The Rooneys.
Are the owners getting significantly younger and more quote, modern, so where only Peyton can figure this out?
Yeah, I'm just not sure where this group of young, hip owners are.
I mean, Jeff Bezos took an online bookstore and has now been shot into space. I think he could kind of hang on his own.
I think he's probably fine. He's been to space a couple times now.
Yeah.
All right, 903.
Weird-looking rocket, but that's neither here nor there.
We're not going to get into the whole rocket thing today. We're not going to do that. All right, 903. And Colorado Mesa looking for a football coach, unfortunately. Tremaine Jackson, 13 games. I thought did an outstanding job when he was in town to lead the Maverick football program. And joining us this morning to talk about the search committee. We're not going to talk about candidates because we're not allowed to do that. But we have Robin Brown, who is with us. She is the foundation CEO and vice president of development for Colorado Mesa. Robin, appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Dare I disclose that you are the sister of one JJ, our sales guy that we like to... he's our resident pinata on the program.
He makes it easy, doesn't he?
He does.
He does. It's punching down in more ways than one.
Ouch. Buckeye.
Was this a blood sister? This is his sister.
Same parents.
Oh, okay.
I know. And you think the success of his siblings would have rubbed off on him. But no, he's here working with us.
Well, you obviously haven't met our dad yet.
Oh, I've met Biff. I met Biff.
Well, then that explains everything.
Biff's a national treasure. Come on, I love Biff. But Robin's on the search committee. Now, you're the only non-football player member of the committee. So give us first, Robin, kind of the outline of who's on the committee, exactly who is on the search committee.
So we have a couple different groups. We have the core search committee, which will sift through the 70-plus resumes and applications that we have to kind of dial it down. And then we have a larger group of football alumni and people involved with the football program that will help us with the narrow that group further down.
Can you throw out some of the names of the alumni that are involved?
So we have Kai O'Day is involved. I don't know if you know Kai.
I know Kai extremely well.
And James Bracey, We've asked
tremendous defensive back.
There you go.
Played for Joe Romano. Great guy.
We've asked Phil Pea to help us out.
Yep, I know Phil.
I could go on and on. There's quite a few. We asked Antonio Clark to join us.
We actually had Antonio
You had a really
on.
Good. Yeah, yep. I listened to that interview. It was really good. In fact, that's why I called him up, because he had a lot of good insight to that, in that conversation. Who else? I should have brought the list with me. It's long.
We don't expect you to commit it to memory.
It's just a lot of football alum, both here and out of town, that have been involved in the past. We're involved with the hiring of Tremaine. And we also asked Chris Hanks, Coach Hanks. I keep saying we want the Chris Hanks of football. That's who we want to hire.
Right.
And so we asked.
Those are tough to find.
I know. Everyone wants that, right? But we asked him to come on and really help us find a coach that's going to stick around and invest in the program and be here for the long haul.
And that's the number one thing, is trying to find somebody that's going to make the commitment. Because as much as I really like Tremaine Jackson, I thought he did a sensational job. When he was hired, I did get the feeling if he's here 5 years from now, Maverick fans will be lucky.
And I heard that from a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. I would agree. I've heard that.
And so number one is finding somebody that will have that will either from here potentially, possibly, or at least embrace the idea of being here for 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 years.
Yep.
Hopefully longer, and hopefully a very long and successful tenure.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what we want, a coach that's going to be happy here, you know, invest in the community, stay if they have a family, raise their family here, and really want to build a legacy program over the next decade.
Robin Brown with Colorado Mesa University Foundation, CEO and Vice President of Development. She's part of the search committee for a new football coach at Colorado Mesa. So can you go through the list of the one through however many that you have in terms of what you and the search committee are looking for?
So I think we want a coach, like I said, that will be here for the long term. We'd love to have a coach that, you know, would stick around for a decade and help us build a program. We do need a coach that's going to help us fundraise. When you look at how we compare to other schools in the RMAC, we're pretty competitive on operating budget, what we pay our coaches. There's a lot of ways we can compete. We're like number 7 when it comes to scholarships. And so our team's about half filled. We'd have to raise another probably $250 a year to be fully scholarshiped, and that's a lot of money, $250,000. And so really we would need a coach that would have some experience and would be really invested in helping us fundraise to get fully scholarshiped. That's a goal of mine at the foundation. We did, you know, Tremaine came to us at a really important time with the Black Lives Matter movement and really worked closely to, you know, we in my opinion, our community handled that, you know, it was an exemplary way to handle that difficult time. Yeah, the whole thing with the football team and the working with the police department. And so really having a coach that's going to build character in our student athletes and contribute in that way, that could have gone very differently. So we're grateful for Tremaine for that. We just wish he would have stuck around a little bit longer. Obviously, recruitment is probably one of the most important things, having experience recruiting and also having experience recruiting in this region. As we see candidates come in, there's a couple different categories. There are, you know, first of all, there's no shortage of really qualified coaches out there. Some have never been west of the Mississippi. And so, you know, you question a little bit. We have discussions on, is that a good cultural fit? Will they move out here and like it? We have a lot of D2, RMAC coaches that obviously know the program, know the school. That seems like a good cultural fit. So those conversations are ongoing. There's a lot from the Northwest, which doesn't surprise me. We moved here from the Northwest. The weather's terrible. You want to get to the sunshine. I think those would be happy coaches here. And so those are some of the hot, the top, but it's tough because there are so many coaches out there and so many that are qualified. So really narrowing that down will be difficult.
Robin Brown with CMU. She's part of the football search committee, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You said you have roughly right now at 70.
I think we're sitting at 70 candidates.
And what's the window in terms of, is that door now closed for candidates or is it still open for a while longer?
The apply by date is Sunday.
Okay.
And so the committee will meet on Monday and really try to narrow that down to maybe top 10. And then we'll do virtual interviews first and then narrow it down to another maybe 3 to 4, we hope, and bring them to campus and tour them around campus, have them meet some of the more important groups on campus and in the community that are really vested in this. Our donors obviously care about who we're going to hire. And then so we hope to have a decision by the 1st of February. That's really fast, but coaches are being snapped up left and right right now.
Absolutely, regardless of level.
So we're moving very quickly.
And it's you're running up against National Signing Day,
yep.
which
yes.
creates uncertainty in terms of players making a decision, high school players, whether they want to play at Mace or not because of an uncertain coaching situation, which makes that really difficult for whoever takes over because you're immediately kind of behind things, behind the chain, so to speak, to use a football term, in regard to recruiting.
Yeah, and that is, President Marshall's really sensitive to that. You know, Coach Jackson went out and recruited some great athletes, some student athletes for next year, and so it remains to be seen if they'll continue to come. Both he and Brian Rooks have had phone calls with all those families, or they had a Zoom meeting with the current players and the incoming players to just assure them that we're committed to everything that was promised to them, hiring a great coach and really taking care of their kids.
Robin Brown with us in studio today. She is the Foundation CEO and Vice President of Development for Colorado Mesa. She is part of the search committee for a new football coach at Colorado Mesa. And when we look at fully funded, because that going back to when the Mavericks became a D2 NCAA program, Robin,
yep.
fully funded has been a problem for the CMU football program. Going back to the Mesa State days, whether it was Jay Hood, Joe Romano,
yep.
Russ Martin, that was always, hey, we've got to get this thing fully funded. That's 36 scholarships. And you say that, you know, part of your plan, what you're doing is to at least try to get it close to that number, get it close to 36.
Yeah, so the reason that I'm on the search committee as the only non-football player is because, I mean, I started at the Foundation. I've been in the Valley 10 years, but I started in the Foundation September 1st, and the first football game was September 2nd. My first meeting was with Coach Jackson to figure out how to get them fully funded. And so we had come up with this plan over the last 4 months to really go out and hit the ground hard fundraising to get there to the 36. We're probably we're somewhere between 22 and 25, depending if they're in-state or out of state. And that makes just a really big difference. You know, you look at why Western beat us, and it's because they have 10 more scholarshiped athletes than we are. They shouldn't have beat us.
They shouldn't have.
So again, you look at what makes certain teams competitive. I mean, CSU Pueblo is probably, I mean, the funding that they have is probably unreachable. But we're pretty competitive in all areas except scholarships. And so really it's a goal of mine over the next 5 years to try to work towards that goal. Currently we're at about, we raise about just under 600,000 for scholarships. And we need to be somewhere around 750, 800. What's an advantage for us is our tuition and fees are so much lower than the other schools. And so it's easier for us to get there than like a Mines. Mines has the most scholarships, has the highest amount of money for scholarships, but they're also the most expensive school in the RMAC.
And you look at how the Mavericks have competed when Russ Martin was here, 6 straight years of over, winning records, did go to the playoffs. In 2015, went with the team when they lost, shouldn't have lost to Texas A&M Commerce, who went on to win the national championship, a couple of RMAC titles, that CMU's been competitive.
Yes.
And that's not the problem. It's being able to, it's getting into that point where you're with Pueblo and with Mines, that every year the playoffs are like this last year was. You are in the hunt. You're in contention. And there were times off and on during Russ's tenure where that was the case, where they did finish above 500. In the last couple of weeks of the season, they were still in that conversation. But it's keeping the Mavericks in that conversation year in and year out.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I do think that the big difference that one is having, well, the most important difference would be having a coach that's here for that long haul and building that program. And then two, having the ability to bring on probably better athletes because of the scholarships.
Robin Brown with Colorado Mesa University with us today on the Jim Davis Show.
And how important, I know it's important, but how early in the conversation with a potential head coach will it be that, when he comes into the CMU sandbox, there's some coaches and programs in that sandbox that are very successful, and working with that and embracing that rather than taking that as a slight against football?
Well, and that was always, the rub with Coach Jackson. Obviously, he said that to you on his way out. Valdosta State football is the program, and at CMU it is one of many very successful programs. That's super important. I'll say this: at CMU we treat all our sports equally, or at least we have to date. I do think that investing a little more in football and a little more focus on football is important because it brings the community in. I mean, if you look at this year, in a way that other sports haven't always, I mean, if you, you know, homecoming was sold out. I don't know the last time CMU had a sold-out football game. And it was really fun. And the culture and the student experience, the student section was packed. They rushed the field after the win. I mean, that is just an incredible thing for everybody in Mesa County to participate in and feel pride in and lift up our university. So I do think that there should be a little bit of focus, I should say, on growing the football program, but not at the expense of our other incredible athletic programs.
Robin Brown with us in studio today. She's the Foundation CEO and Vice President of Development for Colorado Mesa. And when you talk about getting closer to fully funded,
yeah,
and you mentioned the price tag, what that looked like to increase the scholarship level. How do you go about doing it, Robin?
So we need donors. you know, CMU has been very generous with our athletics. So I think all of our athletics to date, all of them across the board, are funded to 80%. Equivalency. That is a number that moves depending on the sport and the cost of that sport. But we rely on our private donors, our businesses. You know, Mark Miller is a wonderful donor to the football program.
Sponsors our radio program.
And so he's, you know, we need more sponsors like that to get there. And so we just really need community support to rally around our program. That involves them believing in the program, believing in the coach, and believing in the students that are coming up through that program. And so that's really, when we pick a new coach and hire a new coach and bring him on the team, we'll work really closely with that coach to try to get more sponsors and try to get more support from the community for the program and directly to scholarships. So getting those student athletes into the program.
Robin Brown from CMU with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. To wrap it up here, we'll step aside from your job with the search committee in CMU to your time serving our country. You were in the Army, and you're an Army helicopter pilot.
Yep.
Thank you for your service and your husband's service, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And my understanding is you were the first female helicopter pilot to be shot down in combat. Is that correct?
So I wouldn't say the first. During Desert Storm 1, there was a female pilot shot down.
Now, your brother told me that, so I'm going on. So I knew probably the information, probably maybe not exactly spot on.
That's one of those statistics that's up for debate, although who wants to debate it? I mean,
right, exactly.
So it's funny. People are always, I guess, in awe or impressed when they hear I'm shot down, but the truth is you're not really supposed to get shot down. So.
No, but still, though, from my perspective, you're an Army helicopter pilot, you're in combat. That's pretty badass. That's pretty cool. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. I love
the
military, yeah.
How long did you serve?
I served 8 years, 2 tours in Iraq, and then at that point, I hadn't seen my husband in a year. He did 2 tours in Afghanistan, and so we retired, and so we got out, and landed in Grand Junction in 2010 and have never looked back. We love being here.
We're glad, even though you had to bring JJ's here, we love JJ. We're glad for what you're doing for CMU and what
you
previously did for the Economic Development Council as well here in town. So and thank you for listening to the program. We appreciate that as well and in serving our country. And
I love the program. Thank you very much.
Are you as big a fan of Clemson as your brother?
No, I'm not actually. It's a weird thing about the Clemson. We were raised to hate Clemson. My family are sports fanatics.
Right.
They watch anything. And but we were raised to hate Clemson, and then we had a couple cousins that went to Clemson, and I remember it was a bizarre thing in the early 90s when my brother switched teams and suddenly became a Clemson fan. So, no.
I knew he was a front runner.
Yeah,
I knew it.
You called him Buckeye.
I knew he was a front runner.
So it's a funny thing. It took my dad a long time to come along and become a Clemson fan with my brother, but I think he's there now. Well, they really like
Dabo. Yeah.
And it's hard not to like him.
So who did they root for before?
So I would have to go back and I think it was more about hating Clemson. We used to call him Stinking Clemson. It was more about hating Clemson than supporting another team.
Yeah, and now they love Clemson.
I can get behind that. Hey, just hating another team, not even having your own.
It's like the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
A lot like that. Yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you so much, and best of luck to you in the search committee and being a Mesa alum. I obviously I'm pulling for you guys to to come up with a winner here for the next head coach.
I really appreciate all the coverage of our sports and having our coaches on, and I just enjoy it so much. And go Mavs.
Go Mavs. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it. Robin Brown from CMU. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Fruit of Monument girls coach Michael Wells joins us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Fruit of Monument Wildcats basketball on The Team.
Welcome back, 923. Jim Alonso, Buckeye boy. And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he's the head coach of the Fruit of Monument girls basketball team, defending Southwestern League champions. They'll face Delta tomorrow night. Michael Wells joins us. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. So are you completely now stocked up on Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Christmas trees for the rest of the year, since, you know, we're now out of the holiday season? Are you good to go?
I'm still working through the flood of Christmas trees that I received after my last appearance on this show.
Okay.
So, I'm in good shape. You know, I think I can make it till Easter when the little eggs come out.
Okay,
so I'm in a good spot.
We're gonna bridge you over till the next holiday where you get those special Reese's cups. Good.
Yeah. I think it's a little upsetting we don't have like hearts and shamrocks, you know. But I think the last push will at least get me to the Easter eggs, so we can make it.
Oh, good.
And I like changing the pile's reputation. Usually it's pile on pile crime, but the pile came together on this one.
They fought through it, and man, I was the beneficiary of that. I can't thank them enough.
Well, good. We're glad to hear that you're well stocked in regard to that. So, Michael, for your basketball team, like I said, last year you won the Southwestern League title. Off to a great start this year at 10-2. Your basketball team has won their last four straight. You wrapped it up this last weekend with the win against Palisade, a 60-21 victory. So, your team, with victories against Lakewood, Glenwood, and Douglas County, it's been a nice stretch for your Wildcat girls.
Yeah, you know, we've made some adjustments to the starting lineup a little bit that I think have just allowed us a little more flexibility to be who we are and do what we do. You know, towards the end of the first semester, you know, we finished 2-2 and just hadn't quite found the identity we needed with this group, and, you know, just made a few small adjustments that I think have worked out for us at this point, and it allows us, when we make some subs, to not go from, you know, really experienced and really old to really young. It's kind of evened out, you know, some of that experience, which I think has taken away some of the peaks and valleys we were experiencing. And, you know, so far so good, and hopefully we can continue to build a little momentum with the league season starting up here.
Fruit of Monument girls coach Michael Wells with us on the Team Sports Network. And you look at the scoring for your team right now, Michael. Your daughter Kylie leads away at almost 8 points per game. Jillian Buck, just a tick behind her at almost 8 points per game. And then Olivia Campbell, the freshman, who's really come on at 7.5 points per game. You've got Emily Richardson at almost 5 points per game. Lauren Lee at almost five a game. The scoring, you look, you know, up and down the lineup here, has been fairly balanced for your basketball team.
Yeah, you know, we've had good balance. Different leader almost every night, although, you know, Liv's been pretty consistent with it the last few. But, you know, kind of the way we play with all the pressure we put on people and pressing and trapping and that sort of thing, you just never really know how the ball's going to bounce. And so, you know, sometimes it ends up in a different person's hands, you know, on a different night. And you know, you always have people who shoot it better on certain nights versus others. And, you know, we're just fortunate we have a lot of weapons that have the ability to score. And maybe in the past we haven't had, like we have in the past, that person that gets 18 or 20 on a consistent night. But, you know, then you're kind of all your eggs in one basket. So I'm happy with our balance. And, you know, it's worked for this group so far. And you know, we just got to continue to ride that train and hopefully keep that balance.
Wildcat girls basketball coach Michael Wells joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And you look at the 5A RPI right now. Monarch is the number one team in 5A in the RPI, Michael, but your Wildcat girls, good spot, number 11 right now, even though we're still a long ways away from solidifying the postseason for the 5A State Girls Basketball Tournament. At this juncture, at 10-2, in a good spot in the RPI.
Yeah, you know, we like where we're at. You know, you always, with the goal in the RPI, is to get, in that top eight, which has been kind of a road to success for us, where you're able to host that second round game and make one of those bigger schools travel over to you. That's kind of been the road for us to the Coliseum. And there's still so much, you know, so much play in the RPI. You know, I think when we played Palisade, we were 4. You know, you end up winning by almost 40, and we dropped to 14. You know, and then we haven't played in a week, and we've moved up 3 spots. And so it's just a little tough right now to see, you know, see where you're going to fit. But, you know, you hope you can stay towards the top of that thing and just continue to control what you do is play your schedule and get some victories and, you know, hopefully make some people come out to the West Slope to play you in the playoffs.
Fertile Monument girls coach Michael Wells joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You have Delta tomorrow night at your place, and you played them twice last year because of the scheduling change due to COVID. They got a couple of wins against your Wildcat girls last year. And I really think Kyle Crowder has a program. Look, your program, no doubt, one of the best, if not the best, on the Western Slope, particularly you play at the highest classification, but certainly one of the best programs. Mary Doan Central off to a sensational start, played great last year, you know, made a deep playoff run in the 4A ranks. They're certainly really good programs, and I think Delta is one of those that I think kind of gets overlooked a little bit because they're in 3A, but that's a really good program that Kyle Crowder has.
Yeah, I have a ton of respect for Kyle, and I can tell you there's no overlook coming from us. You know, we played them twice last year, and they got us both times, and you know, Kyle runs a really good program, and I think on the eastern side of the state, there's definitely some people that overlook them, but anyone who's engaged in what's going on over here knows what kind of program he runs and what kind of talent that they have. And, you know, they lost a lot from last year's group, but, you know, Erica's still involved in that deal, and we're very familiar with her and the time we spent playing with her on the club level. And you know, then you look at some younger pieces that he's added around her, or that's come up around her in the you know, Summers and Miller girl. And the one thing we know, you know, we've got to be ready. They'll be well coached. They have a system that they run, and they do it really well. And, you know, typically it's going to come down to who executes that system the best. And, you know, it's a bit of a clash of two styles. And, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity and you know, hopefully we get a chance to play well and get this one this time.
Yeah, the Panthers, Erica Kuda, really talented player, averaging 14 points per game for the Delta Panthers. And then on Tuesday at your place, you open up defense of your Southwestern League title against one of those great programs here on this side of the hill that you get to play twice a year, the Montrose Indians, Steve Skiff and his team, Taylor Yanowski. She's got off to a great start for them, and that'll be a fun matchup coming up on Tuesday at your place.
Well, it's not too long that the title for the Southwestern League had run through, you know, whoever won the game against Montrose and Fruita, and Steve's done a good job with his group, and you know, they had lost a lot and were a little down last year, but you know, he's got some good pieces back in Taylor and Josie, and you know, it's never an easy one when you play them, and I have a ton of respect for him and what he does with that group, and you know, for us to get an opportunity to kick off a title defense, you know, against them, it'll be a great test for us, and I think really set the tone for you know, what that Southwestern League race is going to look like, and you know, we welcome that opportunity.
And of course, down the road, you got Central on the horizon. They're off. Mary's team's playing great. Christina Manzanera's, the Wagner girls, they're all playing really good basketball, and that'll be a big challenge down the road when you take on the Central Warriors.
Yeah, you know, Mary's done a great job with that group. They've got a great, you know, a great core of kids back, and you know, probably more depth maybe than they've had in the past, and you know, they're super talented, and you know, the focus for us is, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the last week that say they can't wait for that game, but you know, I think we need to focus on tucking that in the back of our memory, because we've got two really good teams, you know, in front of us the next 2 days, and you know, we'll take a look at that Central film when it comes time to play, but we're both very familiar with each other, and you know, I think it's one of those exciting games you circle on the schedule, you know, when it comes out. But you know, we need to focus on Kyle's group, and I don't know who has an answer for Erica, but I don't know that we have one on our roster, so it's going to take all 5 girls on the floor to pay some attention to her and hopefully get that deal done tomorrow night.
Head coach of the Fruita girls basketball team, Michael Wells, joining us on the Jim Davis Show. When you talk about the Kudas and the Yanowskis and the Wagners out at Central. Is there similarities in their three games that you can kind of co-opt some prep from maybe this week for, say, 2 weeks down the road taking on Central, or are they just such different players that you really have to take them as they come?
Well, we just try and take them as they come. You know, Erica's a bit more of a challenge for us from the perspective that she has the ability to step outside, but she really does a lot of her damage inside and in transition. And, you know, we're more of a perimeter-oriented team, and we've had great success in the past stopping perimeter-oriented players, you know, by putting a Kylie or someone like that on them and just taking them out of the game. We haven't had the pieces, you know, recently to be able to do that from someone that plays inside. And so, you know, it provides a little different challenge for us, you know, than maybe it does against Montrose. But then, you know, you look at Mary's group and it's hard to just take Christina out because then you have Bryn. So you take Bryn out and Christina is someone really hard to play, you know, one-on-one because she's just so talented with the ball, you know, a lot like a, you know, a Sydney Brandon back in the day. And then they have so many good shooters around her, and that's not even considering Alex and you know, the Rascone girl inside. And so, you know, they all present different challenges that you got to just focus on one at a time and really execute the game plan for that night. And hopefully you can do that and you know, just move on to the next step.
Right, so tomorrow night, both Fertile Monument teams host Delta at the Wildcats gym, and then on Tuesday, it begins in Southwestern League play. We'll have coverage, our full court coverage, brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance, Montrose at Fruta, and then the Central Warriors at Grand Junction. We'll have coverage of those games starting with pregame at 5 o'clock on Tuesday night. Always appreciate it, Michael. Thank you so much, and we'll see you Tuesday.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, Michael Wells, Fertile Monument girls basketball coach, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Coming up next, we'll talk with Zach Stevens. He writes for DNVR over in Denver. We'll hear his thoughts about the Broncos coaching search coming up in just a few minutes. Zach Stevens with DNVR. But time right now for this day in sports history. 1962, Philadelphia center Wilt Chamberlain scores 73 points in the Warriors' 135-117 win over the Chicago Packers. At that time, it's the most points scored in an NBA regulation game. Remains tied third for the highest total. Of course, he'll hit for 100 later
notorious
on.
Scorer, Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes, both on and off the floor. 1968, Minnesota North Star player Bill Masterson suffers head injuries during a game and dies 2 days later, becoming the first player to die as a result of a game. Also 1976, future undisputed middleweight boxing champion Marvelous Marvin Hagler suffers his first career loss in a controversial 10-round majority decision to Bobby Watts at the Philadelphia Spectrum. 1982, an MLB record 21 times selected as an All-Star, but better known for breaking Babe Ruth's home run record, hammering Hank Aaron, gets inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Also on this day, 1999, Michael Jordan announces his second retirement just prior to the start of a lockout shortened 98-99 season. And in 2002, in a controversial move, Marty Schottenheimer is fired as the head coach of the Washington football team after just one season. Also on this day, 2020, Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch, general manager Jeff Lanau are both fired by team owner Jim Crane for their roles in the sign-stealing scandal after MLB suspends both for 1 year. A.J. Hinch has landed on his feet. Okay.
Yeah, he's done all right.
That was the manager of the Tigers.
Up and coming team.
Yep, no doubt. All right, 9:36. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Zach Stevens with DNVR on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Manning or Elway, who would you rather have owned the Broncos, or at least will be part of an ownership group that owned the Broncos? Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. We'd love to hear from you. And joining us right now, he works for DNVR. Zach Stevens joins us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team hotline. Zach, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to join you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we get things rolling today in the Broncos coaching search. It starts with Aaron Glenn, Detroit Lions defensive coordinator, former Jets cornerback. And I think of the list of candidates right now that the Broncos have asked the league office to interview, Aaron Glenn, to me, seems to be toward the very bottom, not the very bottom of that list. Where would you rank Aaron Glenn in terms of your interest and you think the Broncos' potential interest in him being the next head coach of this team?
Yeah, no disrespect to Aaron Glenn, and anytime you start that, something bad follows. No disrespect to him, but he's probably at the bottom of that list, and there is no way the Broncos could sell Aaron Glenn to this fan base right now from what this fan base is looking for. Not only a defensive guy, and the Broncos are looking at some defensive guys, and I'm not saying they won't hire a defensive guy, but coming from one of the worst teams in the league and coming from a team that had the second worst defense in the NFL. Now, certainly, that's not on all on Aaron Glenn by any means. The Detroit Lions are a bottom of the league team in terms of talent. He's a very respected coach, and the biggest thing that Aaron Glenn has in his favor is the number one thing that George Payton is looking for, and that is leadership. Aaron Glenn, from everything I've heard, is a fantastic leader. The people in Detroit love him, and he was very beloved in New Orleans, where he was a coach before he jumped over to Detroit with Dan Campbell last year. But saying that, the Broncos cannot make him their next head coach. So this is a good person to get some information for, and they've heard very good things about him in the past. So I think that's why they're starting things off with him. But to be honest, I don't think he has a real shot here.
Zach Stevens, DNVR, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Then tomorrow, Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. And if you're a Broncos fan, hoping that somewhat pie in the sky, but let's hope that maybe the Broncos can somehow pull it off, trying to get Aaron Rodgers in a trade with the Green Bay Packers. Nathaniel Hackett would certainly be a guy that would help maybe sway Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver. And then Luke Getsy, who's the quarterback's coach for the Packers. The Broncos will interview him on Saturday. So a couple of guys with strong Aaron Rodgers ties, Zach, coming up today and tomorrow for the Broncos to interview.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the thing with looking at these coaches and Dan Quinn's connection to Russell Wilson, you, in my opinion, you cannot hire one of these guys with the intention of then bringing over that quarterback, whether it's Russ for Dan Quinn or whether it's Rodgers with Getsy and Hackett. You can't do that, because the chances of them leaving their teams already aren't that great, and then the chances of the Broncos landing them still aren't that great. Now, it's a great little thing that they have in their back pocket, the connection to Aaron Rodgers for these two guys. And that would certainly help if Aaron Rodgers forces his way out of Green Bay, but you can't plan on that. So you look at these two candidates, and Nathaniel Hackett is a legitimate front runner in the Broncos coaching search. He's also getting a lot of interviews around the league as well. He's one of the hottest candidates out there, and he's a guy that not only has the offensive mind, not only has worked with Aaron Rodgers the past couple of years, but when he was in Jacksonville, he helped Blake Bortles' offense be a top five offense. That's probably the biggest thing that he has going for him, is he turned a Blake Bortles offense into a really good offense. So that's one of the things that gets me excited about him. The other thing that gets me excited about him is the type of leader he is. He's pretty much the opposite of Vic Fangio, where Vic was pretty even-keeled, never got too high, that is certainly for sure, and was tough on his players. Nathaniel Hackett is a guy that is full of energy and is going to cater to every single player in terms of how they need to be led. That's a big sign of leadership right there, and he brings so much energy, so he'd be just a ball of fun to have around. And then Luke Getsy, their passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach, he's a guy that's an up-and-comer, and he's probably not viewed as a legitimate candidate to be the Broncos head coach, but if the Broncos get Nathaniel Hackett or if they get Dan Quinn, there's ties with Quinn and Getsy in the past, he could be their next offensive coordinator. So they're doing their due diligence both at the head coaching position, but then also at potential coordinators, and including one of those guys is Jerod Mayo. He could be considered as a defensive coordinator for the Broncos if they don't hire him as head coach.
DNVR, Zach Stevens joining us on the Jim Davis Show. What's your thought on guys like Hackett and Moore and Bieniemy? Is it a chicken and egg thing? Is there a propensity for them to maybe be like an Adam Gase, where the quarterback and the head coach made them look really good and they got a job and, you know, just really weren't able to bring that success with them?
Absolutely. That is something that concerns you, and that's why you absolutely have to do your due diligence. And what's crazy is 9 of the 10 coaches the Broncos are interviewing don't have head coaching experience. So if you do hire the one with head coaching experience, which is Dan Quinn, that's a safe hire. You know what you're getting with him. You know he's not going to be a Josh McDaniels. You know he's not going to blow things apart here. Any of these other guys, you are taking a little risk because you don't know if Nathaniel Hackett's energy is going to fall on deaf ears. Now, I wouldn't expect it to, but there's a chance it does. Eric Bieniemy, he's a guy that he's had Patrick Mahomes, and he's worked under Andy Reid the past couple of years. Of course he's going to look great. Matt Nagy also was in that situation, went on to the Bears, looked great his first year. In fact, was head coach of the year, but then things fell apart. So that is something that absolutely does concern you, and all the youth that the Broncos are looking at. Personally, I love it. 6 of their 10 candidates are in their 30s. But that also means it's a wild card. You don't know as much about these guys.
Zach Stevens, DNVR, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I think I already have the answer to this question, but we'll go ahead and let you answer it anyway, Zach. What would you value more? The guy that blows you away in the interview if you're George Payton, or the experience of, say, a Doug Peterson, a Dan Quinn, guys that have taken teams to a Super Bowl? What would you value more if you're involved in that evaluating process?
You know, the Broncos have had their mind made up the past couple head coaching searches going in to the process, and they haven't allowed themselves to be blown away. And then you see some of these guys around the league that have blown teams away, the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahans. In fact, Kyle Shanahan blew the Broncos away in their interview, but the Broncos were already closed-minded. They already had decided on Vance Joseph, and we see how those things worked out. I personally really hope that this coaching search has an open mind, because I would want to be blown away by one of these candidates. Look, the Broncos have gone the steady route, the defensive route. They've gone with who they thought was the safe choice the past couple of times, and it hasn't worked out. This team needs so much offense, so much energy, so much passion, and I think that's what you get in these head coaching interviews that blow you away, is that. And so I'm okay with trying a first-time head coach again, as long as it's the right guy. And you don't have to have offense, but, man, in the AFC West, it really feels like you do. So I want to be blown away in these interviews.
DNVR, Zach Steven joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Front range-wise, what's the percentage, I guess, reticence-wise, to go with a third straight first-time head coach when the last 5 years hasn't worked out very well?
Yeah, and I think that's why Dan Quinn is the leader in the clubhouse right now, because he is the only guy that does have experience. And I think that's something when you talk about leadership, and that's one thing George Payton pointed to time and time again after moving on from Vic Fangio, which he's looking for leadership. That's the number one thing he's looking for in the next head coach. And you can tell a guy has leadership being an offensive coordinator, being a quarterback's coach, being an inside linebacker's coach like Gerard Mayo. But you can really tell, you can guarantee it when he's been a former head coach. And Dan Quinn, he's actually had pretty good offensive success under him when he's been a head coach. But the one thing that he's absolutely had is good leadership. And so I think that's something the Broncos are looking for. And you can more easily find that from a former head coach.
DNVR Zach Stevens joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So, Zach Stevens, Broncos GM, you would hire blank.
I'm going Kevin O'Connell, okay. A guy we haven't talked about yet, but he is the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. And people are saying, well, wait, Sean McVay is the head coach there. He's really the offensive guy. He's the one calling plays, and that is true. But if you look in the past, that has not deterred other coaches from having success. You look at Matt LaFleur out in Green Bay. He worked under Sean McVay. He did not call plays, and he was successful. And then the biggest thing with Kevin O'Connell is he is viewed as one of the most up-and-coming, if not the most up-and-coming, young offensive guys in the NFL. Last year, when Brandon Staley left as the Rams defensive coordinator and went to become the Chargers head coach, he tried to bring Kevin O'Connell with him to be his offensive coordinator. And Sean McVay stepped in and said, no, you are not leaving. I can't lose you. And Sean McVay has not done that in the past with other guys. I mentioned Matt LaFleur. He let Matt LaFleur go to be the Titans offensive coordinator for a year. He said, nope, Kevin O'Connell is too valuable for me. So two of the brightest minds in the NFL, Brandon Staley and Sean McVay have said, this guy is really, really good. That's someone that I am not looking over. And I think that's the guy that could blow you away in an interview.
All right, Zach, appreciate it. This has been great. Make sure you check out his work at DNVR, Zach Stevens. And we'll get you back on again soon, Zach. This is a great time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Make sure you check out his work once again at DNVR. That is Zach Stevens. As we get the process underway today, Aaron Glenn will be interviewed by the Broncos, the Lions defensive coordinator. All right. It's time to flip open the lid and dive right in. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right. It's going to be cold in Buffalo for that game with the Bills and the Patriots. It's going to be really, really cold. Bart Scott has some advice for Bills quarterback Josh Allen, because Allen told Diana Rossini with ESPN that in the past he struggles when it's really bitter cold because he has poor circulation, you know, and it gets poor circulation in his feet, so his feet get really, really cold. Bart Scott has a suggestion for the Bills quarterback.
Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I can't. I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean?
A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes because Viagra was.
Okay, so Bart Scott telling us that players take Viagra.
Sure.
So that makes guys really, really excited about playing,
yeah,
apparently.
I love that cold weather.
Could hardly wait to get out there. Reminds me of the story it was on Jim Rome about, Greg Maddux and, Mark Grace. Remember the Mark Grace?
Yeah.
Situation? Well, the Greg Maddux situation with Mark Grace. Mark Grace went out to talk to him, and Maddux was really, really excited about pitching.
He was really pumped up to be pitching.
All right, what do you have? You don't have anything to counter.
I don't have anything to
follow that up with.
Follow that. I do have actual hard news. Sorry, that's a bad pun.
Oh, that's...
That was an unthought of. That just happened. I'm sorry.
That was unintentional.
I'm such a child. ESPN is hiring Pete Thamel from Yahoo as their college football Adam Schefter.
That's a really good hire.
That is a great hire. Pete Thamel is great. And now I have one fewer reason to go to Yahoo for anything.
Who writes there still? What, Dan Wetzel, that said?
Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, I think,
is there.
Yeah, Forty's
there.
And they have some writer, I don't remember her name, but she doesn't seem to like sports or anybody in sports, but she writes about sports.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's going through some hard times. Lakers aren't very good.
Another transition there.
Yeah.
Bart Scott.
Yeah. Westbrook's in his 14th season, first with the Lakers. But,
when LeBron's not there, they suck.
They suck. His scoring average is his lowest since his second year in the league. Everybody's piling on Russ these days, including the guy at the Sacramento Kings game that plays the music, the in-game operations department. They played "You're as Cold as Ice" from Foreigner when Westbrook was introduced, and then played it again when he missed a layup.
That's great. And when you go 2-for-14 from the field, probably going to hear that a lot.
Probably pretty fitting that you would hear that song.
Apparently, he rebounded every one of his misses. 12 misses, 12 rebounds. 8 points.
Pat knows offensive rebounding numbers.
LeBron went for 34 and was minus 12. Yikes.
Oh.
The Lakers.
Ooh.
Without LeBron, they suck.
All right, that's our show for today. We'll have our pigskin picks tomorrow. Make sure you get your picks in, by the way, because we continue on to the playoffs.
Oh, do we? Oh,
yes, right. We do.
Okay.
At our website, theteam1340.com. Yes, we are not done. And so we'll have the NBC Grand Randos. Cake has put together a bracket with all the people on the show.
Oh, really?
And so they'll be doing that, and we'll do our picks as we normally do as well.
Interesting.
So along with the Pope, he'll be joining us tomorrow at 9:20. So make sure you join Cake and myself tomorrow. Day off for the Buckeye Boy tomorrow. What kind of sort of you Mesa basketball tomorrow night?
That's all right.
But tonight on the team, make sure you join new grandpapa, Mark Johnson, as the Buffaloes take on Arizona in Tucson. Pregame at 8:30 tonight for that one on the Team Sports Network. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Thanks again for joining us. Jim Rome's coming up next on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.